Ooh, you want to play psycho killer? Can I be the helpless victim?
Cross your eyes and scream, man. Scream for your life!
Welcome. I'm your scream queen, Jenica Olin. This is my 20th episode. You guys, I made it to episode 20. I really didn't think I would make it to my 20th episode. When I first started this podcast, I made a commitment that I was going to make 20 episodes no matter what. And I've reached my goal. Lots of people start a podcast and give up out of frustration and lack of seeing some kind of progress. I'm happy to say that I've seen progress and I've learned a lot about audio editing and just I learn every day that I research new content. I love what I'm doing and I hope that you love what I'm doing too. I was told by someone that most podcasts don't make it to their 20th episode. That's like the biggest, like the first hurdle is just to get here. So the fact that I'm here and the fact that I know that I'm still new to everything, and I've really been devoting my whole self to this. I'm proud of myself, and I'm going to give myself a pat on the back. Good job. Good job, Jenica. You did a good job. Episode 20, I've met some really amazing people thus far. I've had some really amazing people on my podcast. When I started this, I thought, oh, I'm just going to do it because I think horror is interesting, and I think it's an important genre. But as I get into this, I'm like, I really like talking to people about horror. It's not just me listening to myself. I really enjoy connecting with people. I think these are genuine connections that are meaningful. I'm getting the privilege of being given like films from directors, indie films that people are trusting me with their creative content. And I value that. I take that very seriously. I want to be as authentic as possible when it comes to my evaluations of film. And I appreciate everything that everyone does, even if it's not something that maybe my palate per se, I appreciate all of it. Oh, I feel like I can breathe a little bit easier just knowing that I've made it to my first goal. Here are my next goals because I need your guys' help, okay? My next goal for me to be able to monetize or do anything and actually, you know, make a living out of this, I need to have at least 10,000 followers. That's the rule of Instagram or anywhere, 10,000 followers. I need to have 1,000 downloads a month to be able to monetize. So however you can help me do that, go out there and do your magic. I know you guys can. I know that you can share, like, subscribe, download, even if you're not going to listen to the episode just yet. If you could just have it automatically downloaded, I don't know how that works, but if you can do that, that will fucking help me out in such a huge way. I don't need to justify what I'm doing. I don't need to monetize for what I'm doing to be beneficial and meaningful to me. But if I could pay myself just a little bit, if I could get something for the stuff that I'm putting out there, it would make it all the better, honestly. Anytime that you're creative and you're putting shit out there, you do it for your passion in the beginning, always. But at some point, you have to eat. I could use a good meal. So fill me up. And when I say that, I know some people are thinking fucking nasty shit. And don't. Turn that part of your brain off, okay? Because I can hear you. I can hear your thoughts. This is my last episode for March with my spring break theme, Spring Break Slaughter. I'm ending this one on a high note with Jeepers Creepers, and I have some awesome Scream Queen guests to discuss this film with me. If you're new here, each episode will have an intro, a brief synopsis of the movie, an analysis of the film, and then I get into the true crime of it all. I'm a huge true crime fan, and I like to make connections between the true horrors that inspire our darkest imagination. The truth is, the stuff on screen is way tamer than the true horrors that take place every day. Spoiler alert! I've made it my job to spoil the shit out of this movie. The movie I'm covering today is the 2001 horror movie Jeepers Creepers, directed and written by... I know he's problematic, so I will not be naming the lizard person, but there are other people connected to this film that deserve recognition. This movie is starring Gina Phillips, Justin Long, and Jonathan Breck. The estimated budget of this film was $10 million, and the estimated gross was $60 million worldwide. The tagline for this film is, "Fear takes a road trip." I hope you like my noise. That's my truck noise. So, some quick trivia about this film. The original truck from the film is owned by a private collector in Maryland who kept it as a relic and also provided it for the production of Jeepers Creepers 3 in 2017. He also rents it for some events and conventions. The film was shot in Central Florida around Ocala. The filming of the scenes on the road were very difficult to record as iguanas were always crossing the highway. That's Florida for you. We've got a shitload of iguanas, and when it's cold, it rains iguanas, if you didn't know. The house where the cat lady lived was the home of an actual cat lady, although the film's felines were provided by an animal trainer. That was actually my house, you guys. I live there. That I was the cat lady. And don't fuck with cats. When Derry and Trish are on the road, they see the license plate beating you. And it's taken as beating you. But later in the film, they realize it can also be taken as be-eating you. Be-eating you. At around an hour and 18 minutes, one of the scenes that took the longest to film was the scene in which the creeper deploys the membranes that cover his face, mainly because the mechanisms that controlled the animatronics on the face of the creeper got out of control. At around 1 hour and 24 minutes, the makeup crew cast Justin Long's entire body from head to toe for the amazing lifelike Derry cadaver at the end, one that was so anatomically correct. Someone tied a trash bag around its waist in the interest of modesty. The body count in this film is 7. Let's set the scene with a synopsis of the movie.
What are you doing?
The hell is that? You dumped something down that pipe.
Wrapped in a sheet. Is this your idea of a little adventure?
I'm just gonna look.
Hello!
You know the part in scary movies where somebody does something really stupid and everybody hates them for it? This is it.
Every 23rd spring, for 23 days, it gets to eat.
Eat.
What the hell is that thing?
Trish and Derry are driving back home during spring break. They take the long way home when they see an RV and try to figure out what the vanity plate's message is in a road trip game they like to play. The next car that comes into view is a beaten up van, gaining on them quickly, and it starts to tailgate them, honking the horn until Derry moves over into the oncoming traffic lane and lets the van pass.
What the hell's his problem?
Just get out of his way, Derry!
As the van passes, they read the license plate that says, "Beating you." Trish starts asking about their mother, and Derry says he only told her he would be home for break. Trish and Derry disagree about how their mother is doing. As they pass an old abandoned church, Derry notices the van that was tailgating them from before. They slow down as they pass and notice that a guy with a face covering is dumping something in a bloody sheet down a pipe. They are noticed, and Trish tells Derry to get them out of there. While Derry tells her to grab his cell phone and the gym bag, the van is now catching up to their car at unnatural speed. He rams the back of their car several times until they run off the road into a field. After checking out the damage, Derry is insistent that they go back to see if the person in the sheet is still alive. Trish would rather find a phone so they can call the police, but Derry argues that if the person is still alive, they might be too late to save them later. Trish finally agrees as they approach the pipe. There's a horrible smell. Derry claims he can hear something, so he climbs into the pipe to get a better view, and Trish holds his feet.
Hello!
No, Derry!
Let me slide down.
God damn it!
Just let me get a little way in.
You're not going down there.
I'm not. Look, just... All right, hold my feet.
When rats start coming up the pipe, Derry and Trish start screaming, and in the commotion, she lets him go. He discovers that the person in the sheet is a boy, not much older than him. His face is blue, and he starts pointing to his stomach. When Derry rips open the sheet, he sees that the boy's stomach has been opened up and sewn back together. The boy dies, trying to tell Derry something.
Say something, you're scaring the shit out of me! Derry, tell me what's going on! What?
We gotta get out of here.
He instructs Trish to go be a lookout as he tries to find a way out and flag anyone down that can help. As he heads further into the basement, he sees more bodies wrapped in sheets, weird instruments, and he notices that there are hundreds of bodies arranged on the walls. Back on the road, Trish looks behind her and sees what looks to be a beaten-up van coming towards her. She hops into her car and tries to start it, but it seems as though the car's clutch is stuck. As the vehicle comes closer, we see that it wasn't the beaten-up van, but a beaten-up truck with hay in the back. As she relaxes, Derry pops up by her window, looking completely in shock. Trish pulls into a diner with a gas pump. As they get out of the car, they're discussing that they need to call the cops, and Derry needs to tell them what he found. At that point, we see the beaten-up van pass by the diner, heading back to the rundown church. They get a waitress to call the cops, and as they wait, a payphone in the diner starts ringing. Trish picks it up, and a woman asks if they have seen the cats yet. The woman on the phone explains that she had seen her and Derry with lots of cats. Derry's freaked out and asking who the woman is. She says she knows who they are, and describes Derry's torn shirt, bloody hand, and rose tattoo on his stomach. She tells them that they have found its house of pain. She explains it to be a hungry thing that will not stop coming after them or anyone else it wants. She proclaims that once it has the scent of something it likes, it can't stop. Then she tells him to listen to something. On her speaker, she's playing Jeepers Creepers. She tells Derry, when he hears that song, to run, because it means something terrible for him. Derry hangs up on her and freaks out. Derry relayed what he saw to several cops, but they're in disbelief. They're told that there's a unit on its way to the church to check out his story. Derry insists that this is not a joke, and he knows what he saw when a waitress comes over asking if his car is by the pumps. His clothes are all over the floor, and the waitress said she saw some guys sniffing all the clothes. When they're back on the road, there are two cops escorting them. The cops get a call that the church is burning down. As Trish is surfing through channels on the radio, she hears that song. And Derry tells her that's the song the lady warned him about.
That's the song. That's the song. The words the same. Listen.
Where did you get those eyes?
What is the matter? That's the song. It's the same song that she was playing. That lady on the phone.
The cops hear a thud on the top of the car. When they check it out, one cop is thrown out of the car, and the other cop gets his head chopped off and thrown into the windshield of Trish's car. They see the man-like creature walk over to the decapitated head and eat the cop's tongue. They see a house and try to get help, but the lady that lives there says she doesn't have a phone. They tell her that someone has been killed, and she turns on her light. The cat lady asks if they brought someone with them. The old lady shoots at the creeper, but he jumps onto the woman's roof and breaks into her house. Trish and Derry finally see the face of the creeper. It looks like a monster with bat-like features and cloudy eyes, as if it's blind. They wrench the car and Trish tries to run him over. She is successful when she waits for him to get a little closer and she rams him with her car. She runs over him a couple more times in an attempt to kill the creature for good.
Hit him, Trish. Hard. Do it!
They head to the police station and Trish talks to her mom, who's worried and wants to get them. A woman comes into the station saying Trish's name. It turns out she was the one that called the payphone at the diner, and she's a local psychic. Jez explains to them about the creeper's ritual, and that every 23 years, the creeper eats what it needs for 23 days. She explains that since they harmed the creeper, he's going to continue eating until he is healed. He smells something in fear and decides if there's something inside a person it may want.
There's no other way except the front.
While the front door is out, why didn't you dream up something useful?
I thought if you knew what I saw, maybe you could change it. Why the hell do you think I'm here?
One of the cops heads to where the inmates are being held to get a head count when the creeper is eating someone to heal itself. A cop tries to hide them in a room, but Jez warns that she's seen the creeper find them hiding in a room. She emphasizes to them that she hears the song Jeepers Creepers playing on an old phonograph while one of them is screaming in the dark. The creeper crawls over the walls and comes up behind Jez. He smells her and doesn't find anything he wants. He runs after Trish and Derry. The two are arguing when the creeper smashes through the mirror. He picks up Trish and Derry by their throats and proceeds to sniff them after licking them both and getting a taste. He takes Derry. Trish runs up and tries to convince the creeper that he wants her and not Derry. The creeper then flies out the window with Derry in his arms.
Don't shoot me a hero!
I have everything the same inside. You take me! You hear me? You take me! You fucking let him go!
We see an old factory where Derry is screaming and crying. In the background, we hear the Jeepers Creepers song playing on an old phonograph. The creeper seems to be sewing something together, and we see that Derry's body is strung up and his eyes have been removed.
Creepers, creepers, where'd you get those creepers?
Oh, those weepers.
How they hypnotize.
Knock me out.
Where'd you get those eyes?
Where'd you get them?
Won't you put me wise?
Don't you shy, man.
Pay to advertise.
Tell them drop me.
Where did you get those eyes?
Today, I have my guests, Sarah and Justine, and they have a podcast as well. So would you like to tell everyone about your podcast?
Sure. We have a TV show podcast where we talk about TV shows, obviously. And we're called Trash Cat Productions. And then the one that we're doing, we've just been calling it We Have to Go Back, because we started out with Lost, and that's like our favorite TV show that we all loved together. And sometimes my brothers, who also have a podcast, will come and join us for that. And yeah, Trash Cat Productions. We're on Spotify and Apple. I think pretty much everywhere you can get podcasts. But I'm Kat, and my co-host is here. Say hello.
Hi, I go by Trash Mouth or Janie.
Okay, Janie, sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No problem. But yeah, that's us. And we are so excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Yes, thank you for being here. I love the name of your little production, like Cat Trash Productions.
Yeah, Trash Cat. Yeah.
Trash Cat. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. No, it's a play on our, we played roller derby back in the day. And it's a play off of both of our roller, well, my last name is Cat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a play off of our roller derby names. So I was Cat Scratch Diva and she was Janie Trash Mouth. And so that's how we came up with our little podcast production company name, was by combining our two roller derby names. And roller derby is big in Florida. So I know that you've got some roller derby teams down there.
Yeah, no, we have in Orlando, we have the Orlando Roller Derby and they got really competitive. Like they
like the professional roller derby now, so to speak.
Yeah, they went through like the whole certification thing. I was actually in roller derby for about a year.
Nice.
Yeah, so I love roller derby. When you said you were in roller derby, I was like, yeah, these are my ladies.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of work, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
we actually started up the league in our town. Yeah, it was a lot. So I was the vice president and she was the treasurer of like our roller derby league. So
yeah, we were founding members.
Yes. Founding members.
That's awesome. That is a lot. Like it takes a lot of dedication to do that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And dealing with all those women, I love women, but 101 of them is a lot to deal with. That's how many we had when we very first started was that many. They dwindled off as we started like competitive skating, but yeah, we started off with about 100 women, so that was crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of personalities to contend with.
Totally.
In the world,
all strong personalities too.
Yeah,
you gotta have kind of a strong personality to play roller derby, I think.
Mm-hmm. For sure. My roller derby name was a supernova star or scar. Supernova Scar.
Cute. That's adorable.
Well, so let's start talking about this movie, Jeepers Creepers. So you guys rewatched it. And what were your reactions on your rewatch?
Interesting.
So I think similarly to Sarah, it had been pretty shortly after it was released that I initially saw this movie. I didn't realize it was as brutal. It felt like it had all of the parts that made a really great horror film. The body horror, the gore.
The gore was great.
Yeah. It was a little cheesy, but I think that for the time it came out, it was acceptable. I don't know. It was very 90s, and I can't remember what year it came out exactly.
It was like 2001, right?
Okay, so yeah.
Yeah.
But it reminded me just of like all of the 90s movies. Just, I think that's just the way things were written back then. And so I think I ended up liking it more this time than the initial time that I watched it.
Yeah, it was made in 2001. And like, I've seen this movie a few times. Like I remember being a kid and really liking this movie and just thinking it was so creepy. Like the Jeepers Creepers song, like definitely yes. Hits a chord with me. I don't like
me
that
too.
Song.
I've
at
been
all.
Singing it all weekend. Ever since I watched it, I've been like, Jeepers Creepers. Like it just won't leave my head. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those things when you can get a song that you associate with your film in such a like, visceral way like that. I will never hear that song and not think of the movie.
100%. You just can't. I loved it too. I liked it. I did notice it was a little bit more cheesy than the first time I watched it, because I just remember thinking it was so like scary and crazy the first time I watched it. And but the costuming on the Jeepers Creepers guy was fantastic. He looked so scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like his whole thing was just, and I love monsters, so that was my favorite part, was his monster makeup and just his whole costuming. He looked so good.
Yeah.
What's his name in the movie? Like, does he have a...
He's the Creeper.
Just the Creeper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just call him the Creeper?
Yeah. And then Jonathan Breck is the one who plays the Creeper. He's the actor. And that's all practical effects.
You can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of our favorite...
Really cool.
One of our favorite shows is Face Off. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but
we
go hard for practical effects.
Yes, we do.
Love that.
I love the makeup for this film.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I would have to look it up. That's not something that I have in my notes, but we could look it up as we're talking.
Yeah, I'll look it up really quick.
Okay.
Really quick. Makeup, Jeepers Creepers.
One thing that I noticed on the rewatch is, like, as a teenager watching this, or young adult, like, I thought their decision making was just fine. But then on a rewatch, I'm like,
I know.
Like, no, I know exactly you guys. What you mean. Like,
so many red flags, you guys. Come on.
So that's going to kind of get us into, like, one of my themes is, like, the sibling rivalry between the two of them, the two characters. I think they do a really good job with that. Like, they're very bitchy to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much what I would have done with my siblings.
I have an older sister. I can confirm. Like, I have three younger brothers. Can confirm. That is exactly how it is.
Yeah. Like, when she's holding him in the pipe.
Yeah.
And she's like, we shouldn't be doing this, but he convinces her into it. She knows him well enough to know that he's not going to let it go. So she plays along, but he's kicking his feet and stuff, and she lets him go. And when she lets him go, I think of it as, like, how do you hold on to someone who's kicking at you?
Right. Exactly.
But then he blames her.
Yeah. Well, I think that was part of the sort of cheesiness too, of just that was there, just that, like, little bit of cheese was just, like, their dialogue too. What had a lot to do with that. Their dialogue back and forth, how that was written, was probably the cheesiest part. And when they're talking to each other in that way, it's just, like, it's just not as believable in those instances. Like, if you really want my help, you're not going to F and kick me, you know?
Like, yeah.
Exactly. Sorry. The makeup guy is Brian. I think it's Panicus or Panakis. And he did makeup for Emancipation, Army of the Dead.
Oh.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Fear the Walking Dead. So he's done a lot. And nice. Sons of Anarchy. Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff. So you can tell he's got a Interstellar.
Nice.
He's got a good resume there. So, that was my favorite part with makeup for sure.
Yeah, definitely a veteran there with all that. Yeah. One thing I thought was interesting between their relationship, like, they talk about their mom a little bit. And Trish she doesn't want to see their mom. And she's like, did you say both of us were coming, or did you just say you were going? And he's like, I said only one of us. But he has his laundry so there, and he's like taking it for his mom to do his laundry.
Yeah.
He's such a mama's boy.
Listen, my son does the same thing. My middle son, he brings his laundry every Wednesday. We hang out and he brings his laundry over, and I do his laundry here. Part of the reason is because in his apartment, his washer and dryer are tiny, and he's kind of a big boy. So he's got, and lots of clothes, but yep, I can relate. My son brings his laundry over.
Yeah.
I like that he points out, though, that it's for their mom, though, also, you know. He's like, she would miss it if she didn't have my laundry and have that opportunity to take care of me.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's for sure true. It's just nice when your adult children hang out with you and they don't have to. So even if you're doing their laundry, it's like, who cares? I get to be, like, around you, even though you're on your own and doing your own thing.
Yeah, I don't know what Trish's relationship with her is with her mom, but it definitely seems more estranged.
Yeah, I definitely got that impression too, that there was, or something like that was underlying that they didn't really talk about. Maybe she got into some trouble or something and her mom wasn't, you know, I don't know. I got that feeling too, like there just was some kind of a disconnect there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like between the two of them too, no matter what they did, they argued about what they were going to do every single step of the way.
Yeah, they definitely did. And it, I thought it was just funny that it was her car, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like, she insisted on taking her car, but she wasn't driving it. I thought that was kind of funny. He was driving them in her car and he's like, I knew we should have taken my car. And she's like, but I just thought that that was hilarious that she was making him drive and it was her car.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I kind of feel like she was the older sister in that situation, but I don't think they ever for sure say.
Yeah.
I don't think they did either, but I definitely got that impression that she was the older one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe got into a little trouble in school or something.
Yeah, she definitely seemed like the bad girl. Like,
yeah,
kind of, she was a little bit more rough than him.
She rough around the edges. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was.
She was like ready to fight.
Yeah. Did we ever hear, were they at like the same school or something? Because it seemed like they were both off at school and like they, I don't know. They never really elaborated on that. And it's not really an important detail, but I was like, did they go to the same college? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I know that they were on spring break. And that's why I picked the movie, because it's like a spring break horror movie.
And they were in Florida, weren't they?
Yes. So I can't remember. I don't think it's supposed to take place in Florida, but it is filmed in Florida. It's filmed in like Ocala, not too far from where I live.
Oh, cool.
I did not get Florida from that. I was picturing like very backwoods, like Texas almost, especially like in the diner scene. I don't know, that just screamed like rural Texas to me.
Did it?
Yeah.
Well, they had a different, they didn't have Texas accents, but I definitely got the feeling they were in a not very densely populated area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a lot of that in Florida. I know where it was, like that diner, and both the diner and the pumps were, they had to create that because it was very desolate over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so people that actually drove by thought it was real and would try to stop by for food and gas, but it wasn't real.
Wow, that's awesome. They're like, no, you can't come here. This is a movie set.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, sweet, we ran into a movie set while we were driving in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. No. So the next theme I have on here is the cyclical nature of fears, or evil, sorry. The cyclical nature of evil. So in evil, we tend to, or anything, we tend to put a number to it. And for this one, it's every 23rd spring. For 23 days, the creeper would be able to feast on whatever it needed.
Okay.
Oh.
I did not even catch that.
Yeah, it's like a locust or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even catch that part. That's crazy. Okay, so 23 is the number for Jeepers Creepers.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know why 23, though.
Yeah, it doesn't have any, like, history, except for being, what, wasn't Michael Jordan number 23? Like, that's the only thing I can think of.
The next theme I have in here is the power of fear. So the creeper smells the fear on someone, and then if it smells something that it likes, then it will take that part of you.
Right.
I thought that was a really interesting arc in the storyline, because, you know, typically that's true in life all around. Like, if you are presumed, like, if you're walking down the street and you seem very meek and very shy and a little, like, you are an easy target for someone.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so he finds their easy target, and that's what he feeds off of.
Mm-hmm. And it's the fear of being caught for your fear, you know?
Yeah. Right.
I think
that's a cycle right there.
Yeah. And I like that they gave us that backstory and into why this thing is doing what he's doing, or why, because you don't always get that, especially with monsters. It's you know, it's sometimes it's just an evil being or whatever, but this, right. Like, well, it feeds off of what part it wants to use from mm-hmm. you or whatever. So yeah. I liked that it gave us that little detail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that trope too.
Yeah, it needed, like, even in nature, like, if you're going to go for a hike, like, I like to go on hikes a lot. We have bears, we have cougars out here, we have all kinds of animals. But if you show fear to a wild animal, it will attack you.
Yeah, because they can smell the fear on you.
Mm-hmm. And you, it will, you know, you appear as prey. So you're not supposed to run. You're not supposed to... you're supposed to make yourself big, as big as you can, and then be as loud as you can to be aggressive back at the animal and scare that animal. But I mean, that's, you know, I think that's pretty,
I think that's true. Yeah. I think that, definitely makes you a little bit more vulnerable. I think that we would be the type of people though, that would be like, oh, come here, bear. Come give me a hug. Yes. Be friends.
Well, if your arms are wide open, though, it might think that you're scaring it.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that that's a good sign of a formidable foe, though, too, because, you know, the psychic lady tells them that, you know, he won't ever stop looking for you. You can't hide. You can't run. It doesn't matter what you do. Basically, you've been marked. So
yeah. Once he gets to your smell or whatever.
Yeah, so it's that extra fear of literally nothing I can do can get me away from this monster.
Yeah, that's, and that just makes your fear grow.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's also another theme with, like, your destiny and predetermined destiny. So they try, like, I find it really interesting that the psychic, Jez, I think her full name is Giselle in there. She's trying to help them kind of change the destiny. She's like, I'm hoping that if I tell you these things, we can change it. But she's also admitting that everything she's seen has come true, and she's not sure that they can change it.
Right. The sister is very adamant. She's just like, do all of your dreams come true? Like, does everything you dream about come true? And she doesn't really answer her at first. She just kind of, like, beats around the bush about it, because she's hoping that they'll be able to defeat this thing, or at the very least save her brother's life from him. But, you know, she never will answer. And the sister's just like, tell me. Mm-hmm. That was a really intense part too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The climax right there. I was like, ooh, kind of got excited. And I was like, oh. It's been a long time since the movies made me feel like that.
Yeah. I like when it came to, because she goes step by step of, like, what's gonna happen. She's like, you're gonna hear cats. Have you seen cats yet? And you're gonna hear this song. And it kind of, there's like a red herring in there, because you hear this song on the radio, but it's the wrong place.
It's the wrong, and it's not the, it's a different version of the song than what he, I think, heard from the phone call, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the, so when the cats, that was part of her vision.
Yeah. Yep.
That lady was such a badass.
Yeah, she was tough old biddy.
Yeah, she was. She's all, I'm just a crazy old woman blah 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, right. You know, you're not just a crazy old woman.
That last guilt trip. What did you bring to my house?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
My bad.
And she's so observant. She knows that that scarecrow is not a scarecrow. And she's like, did you bring someone with you?
Yep.
And all the cats go crazy. Like, they start, like, doing their, like, howling, like, their thing. Yeah. I guess they put Tuna on the screens of the window screen.
To do that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. So they would fight over the tuna.
That's about the only thing human food wise that my cat will eat is tuna. I've never, he's really super picky. Like, he eats his food and he'll eat a little bit of tuna. I've tried to give him like broiled chicken before and he wouldn't have anything to do with it, but he will eat tuna. So that makes sense.
I have six cats and I have one cat that will eat anything and everything. I can't leave a single dish in the sink. It doesn't matter what it is.
Those are the best cats though, with the ones with the personality, you know?
Yeah.
He would Jesse kill himself immediately.
Jesse eat something has a bad. Three-legged cat.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You have a three-legged cat, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. He has got some character, man. He's been on our podcast.
He's so personality.
He has comments all the time when we're trying to record. It's lovely.
He does chime in. He loves to chime in. He's very loud too.
Yes, he is.
I love you, Lieutenant Dan. Yeah. We'll be like, oh, Lieutenant Dan, you want to come and talk? He's really, really big and fat, but he's like buff because he like just uses his two arms. And he'll get up on her couch with just his two front paws and just like pull himself like he's doing a pull up onto the couch. And
yeah,
he's yoked. His ears are all messed up because he was attacked. That's how come he only had three legs.
Oh,
and he also has like a neurological problem because they gave him too much anesthesia when they were fixing him.
Poor baby. So,
poor yes. And so he shakes.
Yeah, he's severely got, like, handicapped. Parkinson's. And I've had to accommodate my home in various ways to accommodate him. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
he's a character.
He's the sweetest boy. He just wants to be petted and loved on.
So another theme in this movie is basically, I called it "You Are What You Eat." Because everything he eats, he becomes like,
right.
There is a scene where after the creeper's really hurt by them, after Trish like runs him over a bunch of times, he goes into like the prisoner's cell and he starts feasting on the prisoners. And the prisoner actually has a tattoo. And after, this is like a super like weird detail that you would never notice if you didn't like, if I didn't tell you, but the prisoner's hand had a tattoo. And then after he ate the prisoner, he had the tattoo.
I did not catch that, but I love that. I did not catch that either.
That is fucking dope. Okay. All right. I like that. We love little Easter eggs like that.
Yeah. And then, so they show the monster, they show the creeper at the beginning. And the creeper almost looks blind. His eyes are very misty.
Yeah, they look like they have that cloudy cataract thing over them.
Yeah, but after he eats Derry's eyes, then he has Derry's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see like they're exact. I mean, it's just his eyes. He doesn't have the cloudy eyes anymore. That I did notice.
Yeah. That I did notice. The tattoo, though, I did not. It's crazy.
Oh, one thing about Derry, too, his little tattoo on his belly. His little rose.
My little rose tattoo. Oh, my gosh. So funny. And that one little detail, she's like, you have a rose tattoo on your belly. When he had, like, a wound and stuff. Yeah. Oh, Derry.
Such a dainty, like, just by his belly button.
Yes.
Who gets sweet a tattoo little right there?
It was a very unique detail about him, something that no one could have predicted. Like,
right, exactly.
There's a story behind that tattoo, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, one drunken day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because it's like a fine line tattoo. It's not like super detailed. It's just like this little dainty thing by his belly button with his like little flat abs. He's got like these. He just looks like a little baby. Like he's so little.
A poking stick at midnight after a night of drinking in the dorm rooms or something.
Exactly. That's what it looks like. Aww. He's
have
so
a couple
cute
of those, not gonna lie.
The next theme I have in here is just like the fragility of human existence overall. Like the film portrays the creeper as a force of nature that's both terrifying and unstoppable, emphasizing the vulnerability of human life in the face of such a powerful and ancient evil. He almost reminded me of like a vampire in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
He would never die. And every 23 years he came back and he ate what he needed. So if his heart had, if he wasn't going into heart failure, he'd eat your heart. If he needed lungs, he'd eat your lungs. He needed some eyes. So he went and ate Derry's eyes. So I thought that was like very much almost like a vampire type creature.
Yeah.
I think
absolutely
that also
something to survive.
I think that also like humans are so typically just like not concerned with their fragility. You know, we all know how fragile we are. We all know how easy we are to kill. Yet we do these stupid things. We put ourselves in these situations.
Yeah.
That could be dangerous. And, you know, it, like the very first thing they do, they decide to go back and look in that fucking pipe. And she even makes the comment like, this is the part in the scary movie where, you know, you always
where
tell
we
them
die
that,
because we, you don't want to, you always tell them, don't go back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And exactly. And we just throw that out the window and we go and we face these things and we face these fears to our own demise.
And then he's like, well, what if that was me or you down there? And like, he kind of like manipulates her in that way. Like, wouldn't you go back? What if one of us was down there or something? So mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely ignored all of the red flags and were not concerned with their own human fragility for sure.
Yeah. There's like an egotism to that. And I think just being young, and they were so young in this film, and like young people tend to think that they're invincible.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And for yeah, sure. I definitely saw that with him. And oh my God, let's talk about the inside of that basement of that church. Ugh. And how it was covered, like from ceiling to wall, like head to toe with dead bodies.
Dead body wallpaper.
Bananas. Yeah. That was bananas. That was one of those moments. Like,
well, and
I love gore like that though.
Mm-hmm, me too.
When I first saw that, I was like, and you know, considering I had already seen the movie, I did not remember this obviously, but when they got to the diner looking for help, I was like, oh, all these motherfuckers are in on it, dude. Like, there's no way he's been stealing that many people and somebody's not in on it with them. So I was like suspicious of the cat lady. I was suspicious of the people in the diner, suspicious of the cops.
Yes.
But
he's
trying
to be helping this guy out.
Right. But apparently they're just blind to all of the people that go missing in their
they're
area.
Just feigning ignorance or something. Like, that's kind of what it seemed like. Tell me why this guy drives. Is it just to keep up the human facade?
Yeah.
Like you can fly. Driving. And I mean, maybe it was just so they could use that cool car and they're on the road, you know, and it's a very familiar trope having people on the road being chased by you know, evil people. Usually it's not like a monster like that, though. It's just like a fucking psychopath. But this dude is in a, is like a monster in a truck, which I kind of love that little bit of like, it was kind of a humorous little take on it. And I couldn't wait to talk about him driving a truck with, what was the license plate? It was like Be Eating You.
Yeah.
Which I would have been like beating you, not be eating you, if I, they were playing like the license plate game.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I saw that, I would say, I thought it was beating you, like we're racing and you're beating me. That would be my first thought.
Well, I think that's how they took it. But when they're talking to Giselle on the phone, she's like, say it again, think about it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it never says that it's be eating you, but I think that's what she's insinuating, is that it's not beating you.
It's not beating you, it's beating you. Yeah.
When I read it, I was thinking like, I'm beating you. Like
right.
Exactly. That or like you're in a car, so if you're, you know, you're driving, especially if you're driving like an asshole like he was, like I'm beating you, like I'm winning, you're gonna pull over because I'm being erratic or whatever. So I just thought that little bit of that little humorous thing that they did with that was really cute.
Yeah,
I guess if you can call it cute.
I think like I was confused too why he was using the truck when he could literally fly, but also it's not like he was not vulnerable. He was like, he can you know, eat different parts he needs, and he can like regrow and heal himself, but he's still vulnerable.
Yeah, he can be, he can be weakened. I guess.
Yeah, so I kind of saw it as that's why he was using the truck, as kind of like to blend in.
Yeah.
He's lived long enough. He knows humans are the biggest predators out there.
Yeah. True story.
Yeah. So that actually brings me to the game that I have for you guys, though.
Okay.
So I always play like a little game with my guests, and I have a little license plate game for you guys.
Okay.
And so I have some pictures of different license plates, and I'm going to see like whoever the winner is. So I'm going to keep score on the two of you to see who gets it first. Like who can guess what the license plate means first.
Okay, perfect. We live in the land of vanity plates. Like if you live in this part of Nevada, everybody here has vanity plates. So I think we might be pretty good at this. We'll see.
Okay, I try to pick hard ones.
I love this. I'm excited.
So whoever wins will get a prize, though. I'll send you a prize.
Yay.
So let me see. I'm going to share my screen with you. Just 1 second.
Oh, there we go.
Can you see it?
Send nudes. Here.
Ah, you're too fast. You won that one. Yes, that sent nudes. I thought that was a cute one.
That Colorado?
Yeah. I'm surprised they let that go, to be honest.
I am too.
How can you tell me that you haven't been laid in a long time without telling me you haven't been laid in a long time? You know, this is someone's dad.
Well, and then it's send troops or send nudes, support the troops.
Yeah, that is an extra layer.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right, next one.
Sex 24/7.
24/7. Ooh, Justine got that one.
Yeah, you got that one. So 2-0. Yeah, sex 24/7. Again, so many sex vanity plates. Like, and it's rusty. Like, your shit is rusty. I doubt you're having sex.
Well done, Maryland. Well done.
All right, next one.
Yas queen.
Damn it.
Yes. So this person is obviously very fabulous. Yeah. They have like the fist with all the color, you know, the rainbow color, like everything. So this person I would be friends with.
Hell yeah.
And I don't know what first in flight means. What's that for?
That's for the like the first flight, the Orville's. It was flown in North Carolina.
In North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Okay. And it is a North Carolina play. So, all right. Next one.
Not OJ
Not
in a
OJ.
Bronco.
So, who am I giving that one to?
I think you're gonna have to
I don't
listen to the
know.
recording.
Yeah, you might have to listen to the recording for that one.
Yeah, I think it was a tie. I'm giving it to you, Sarah, because you have zero right now.
Okay. I got the first one.
You did.
I thought
Yeah.
I got the first one. That's why I think you're gonna have to listen to the recording.
I'll listen to the recording and then I'll let you guys know later. Yeah, I thought this was really cute, like not OJ. I would totally, if I had a Ford Bronco and I could do that, I would
Oh
do
my God,
that.
I know. That's hilarious.
Yep.
The white Ford Bronco.
All right, next one.
License plate.
Wait. Ooh, we were right together on that one.
It was together. I will give you both a point for that. Yeah, license plate, like so on the nose.
Yeah.
That's clever though.
Colorado's wilding out.
Like I would never think of this.
I hope
Like,
there's a Nevada one on here. Right.
yeah.
I
A
like that.
dyslexic person had to have come up with that.
I like that the plate holder says custom personalized license plate frame.
Yeah, the most like
Generic.
didn't even have time to get it custom personalized. It's just on there.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I feel like it's because I think it's like here is what the thing is. They're just very
oh,
literal
okay.
about
Yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
All right, next one.
Power bottom.
Power bottom. That was Justine.
Yeah, power
Power
bottom. Yep.
bottom.
I thought that was cute. It
That's
was so cute. I adorable. That looks like North Carolina too, I think.
think it is. Well, they get away with a lot over there.
Yeah, they
I know. I
do.
don't know how that's possible. That's crazy.
And it's a BMW, so I was like, okay.
That's
You're
why they.
sugar daddy. He's got a sugar daddy giving him
Yeah.
a
Right, next one.
Oh my God.
On my way
On
to
my
fuck
way
you.
to
Fuck you.
Find you, bro.
Find you. On
Fuck
my way to fuck
your
your butt.
boyfriend.
Fuck your butt. Fuck your boyfriend.
Oh.
I did the on my way to fuck your boy
Okay.
or boyfriend or whatever it may be. I'll give
Mm-hmm.
you both a point for that because you both had good ones. I could have been any of that. And this is California.
That's an old license plate. I haven't seen a
Yeah,
California license plate in a long time.
it looks like it says 93 on that license plate on the, it looks like, or it's 90 something, maybe 99, 93, 99.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, this is an older one for sure, but still good. That's classic. Someone is shiesty
Yeah.
as fuck. All right, next one.
Sexy 2A.
Ass sex backwards.
Yes.
Oh,
Okay. I don't
shit.
know.
Good
Oh, no.
job.
Okay. Hold on. I have to escape and then I can. Yeah. So in your rear view mirror, you would see ass
Ass sex.
sex.
Yeah. That's great. I love that. That's
Clever.
some forethought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Those are the kids that were fucking around with their calculators and making like the all the cuss words with the numbers.
100%. Yes. Back in the day before texting, we
Yes.
used
For
and you do it
pagers.
like on pagers too, so you would
Yeah.
What they call elite speak, isn't that what that's called?
Yeah, lead speak.
right, next one.
24/7 ass.
Yep.
Yeah. There's the Nevada.
Oh, it is Nevada.
Yeah.
24/7 F.
Yeah.
This sounds like one of those numbers I would call when I was a kid to like joke
Really?
around.
1-900-247 F or something like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, something from like the payphone at the park.
Right. Yes.
Did you ever do that with your friends? Just like call
Oh my
those
gosh,
sex
yeah.
phone lines from
Oh
like a
yeah.
payphone?
We would do that. We would call people in the phone book that had funny names. We would do the, is your refrigerator running? You better go catch it. We did
That
all
actually
kinds of.
looks like a regular license plate to me, because that is the setup that we had for a long
It
time.
is, yeah.
Three numbers and three letters. That
Yep.
might be a like a caught one in the wild, actually.
That looks like someone's actual license plate. It looks like it says 2013.
I can't see the year on it, but yeah.
On the year, or there's definitely a one in front of it. So like 10 to 19.
I don't know. I guess it's hard to think that Nevada would release like
She's 999
license plates, all that had ass on them, though. You know what I mean? So maybe it's not one that would.
You never
I know.
Know.
That, yeah.
It's too specific, I think, to be accidental.
Right.
All right. This might be the last one, but let's see. All right. Next.
Sharks.
Yes. And it's another North Carolina.
Yeah.
Nice.
I would not get into that Uber.
No.
That's like, just like, why are you admitting that?
Her car sort of. Oh, go ahead.
I wonder if it's like their last name is Hart, and so there's five of them. Five hearts.
Oh, five hearts. There you go.
Oh, well, you know, if that was their goal, they failed.
That's a fail for sure.
Yeah.
That's like there's a lady that I knew back in Elko, and her husband's initials were DP. David Potter or Darren Potter or something like that. So she went and got a license plate that said DP in me, like deep.
Oh no.
Darren Potter and me.
No.
And it came up on like our local page, like people making fun of it all the time.
I love that. I never knew that. That's so funny.
Did she realize?
Well, her husband realized. He was like, what the fuck did you do? Oh my God.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
That's really funny. I think if I made a mistake like that, I would just commit to it.
Right.
I'd be like, yep. That's,
yeah.
That's
well, you'd
me
have
now.
To, or you'd go in and have to go in and wait at the DMV, and nobody wants to do that. Like,
yeah.
I'd rather just deal with it than have to go back there.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us. It was so much fun. And hopefully you can come. You can join us for Midnight Mass next weekend on Saturday. We're going to be doing Midnight Mass with our vampire. We're doing vampires this season. So Midnight Mass is our next one. That's our one and done. We categorize all of our TV shows that we do for our seasons with different things, like a deep dive, and then we do like a lighthearted, and then we do like gone too soon, like something that left before we were ready for it to leave, or something that was canceled or something like that. And then we have the one and done that only had like one season and then it was finished. So
yeah,
that's our one and done episode is Midnight Mass, and we'll be doing that Saturday morning, 9 o'clock our time probably. So I think that's going to be like 10, 11, like noon your time.
Yeah, no, perfect. I will definitely be there. I'm looking forward to that because I love that show. And that show made me cry. And I have no emotions. So.
You guys are two peas in a pod. I'm like overly emotional. And Justine, it takes a lot to get her to get emotional over something. That's why she likes all the Fuck Me Up Fam stuff, is because she wants to feel it. She needs to feel.
I totally get that.
I found her body.
You what?
I found her.
Jesus!
Now it's time for the true horrors of it all. The Creeper legend is completely fictional, but the scene where Trish and Derry witnessed the Creeper dumping a body down a well by an abandoned church was inspired by the case of Dennis DePew, a former Michigan property assessor who murdered his wife and was seen by witnesses near an old schoolhouse with a bloody sheet. Two witnesses also recall DePew speeding past them in a van and eventually tailing them and riding their bumper for several miles. The case was also profiled on the 1990 episode of Unsolved Mysteries. Here is a brief overview of that story. 46-year-old Dennis DePue murdered his 48-year-old estranged wife, Marilyn. He was a property assessor, and she was a Coldwater High School guidance counselor. They had been married for several years and raised three children. However, there were problems in the marriage. After he became withdrawn, he accused her of turning their children against him. She often told friends that she was unhappy and wanted a divorce. Finally, in 1989, after 18 years of marriage, Marilyn filed for divorce. He tried to keep the marriage intact. However, the divorce was finalized in December 1989. He was granted biweekly visitation rights, but their children were often reluctant to spend time with him. He was also given access to the guest house, which he used as an office. However, it was believed he used that as an excuse to maintain control over his family. Marilyn later changed the locks on the doors, but he still managed to find a way to enter the home. On Easter Sunday, April 15th, 1990, Dennis arrived at the home to pick up two of their children. The younger daughter, Julie, had already refused to go with him. When he went inside, their son, Scott, was reluctant to go. When Marilyn tried to talk to him, he became angry and started yelling at her. He then grabbed her and pushed her down the stairs. At the bottom, he continued to beat her even after the children pleaded with him to stop. Their oldest daughter, Jennifer, ran to a neighbor's house to call the police. Dennis then carried a seriously injured Marilyn back up the stairs. He told their children that he was taking her to the hospital. They, however, never arrived there. An immediate and widespread search began for them. Later that afternoon, Ray and Marie Thornton were going on a Sunday drive on Snow Prairie Road near Coldwater when a speeding van passed them. They noticed that its license plate began with GZ, but did not pay much attention until a few minutes later as they passed an abandoned school. Marie noticed the driver carrying a bloody sheet behind him. Minutes later, the van pulled up behind them and rode their bumper for several miles. Finally, Ray turned off the highway. They noticed the van pulled off to the side of the road. They turned around and noticed the driver changing the license plate. They also noticed blood on the passenger side door. They decided to return to the school where they found the bloody sheet in an animal hole. After they contacted the police, they learned that the man they had seen was Dennis. Tire tracks at the school belonged to Dennis's van, and the blood on the sheet was Marilyn's. Based on the evidence, it appeared that he had killed her. However, it wasn't until the next day that this was confirmed. Highway workers discovered her body near a deserted road in Bethel Township. She had been shot twice in the back of the head. One of Mary's friends called the telecenter and provided authorities with the Texas license plate number of Dennis's van. 4 hours later, his life came to a violent end just across the Louisiana-Mississippi state border. When Louisiana state troopers spotted Dennis's van, they attempted to pull him over. He led police on a 15-mile high-speed chase and broke through two police barriers. Warren County, Mississippi, Sheriff Paul Barrett told his deputies that if the van refused to stop, they should shoot out its front tires. They missed the front ones but got the back ones. Dennis traveled about a half mile before his van came to a stop. At around 4 a.m., after firing two shots through his windshield at deputies and another through an open window, he turned the gun on himself and took his own life. Paul believes that he intended to die that night, either by deputies or by his own hand. Let's end on a high note. Since Since this is my last episode of March and Women's History Month is coming to an end, I wanted to tell you guys about an amazing woman that influenced this entire podcast. She was a mother, author, and a professor that fought for women's rights. She was a complete badass, and I'm so lucky I got to call her my grandma. My grandmother taught at the University of Central Florida, and she was my guardian angel, or the closest thing to one. Growing up, I got the black sheep of the family as my father. He was a drug dealer, addict, and abusive husband. My mother was a mentally ill narcissist that didn't have a nurturing bone in her body. I'll have her on at some point on the podcast. Sorry, Mom, if I offended you, but I think you know that nothing I said was false. I'm saying this because my grandma saw that my siblings and I needed extra care, love, and attention to survive and maybe even one day flourish with everything we were exposed to. She made sure I had life experiences and taught me valuable lessons. My favorite memories are cleaning her house and in the middle of cleaning to earn some money, we would have a root beer float and just talk. I always felt safe with her. Can't say that for a lot of other people in my life. She was more than that, though. She was an English professor with an emphasis on film study and musical theater. She never stopped learning and she never stopped teaching. She would do almost weekly lectures during the summer at the historic Tampa Theater up until she was 92. They would play a movie and afterwards she would lead a lecture/discussion about the film. She was knowledgeable about the actors, directors, history behind each film, and the choreography. Some of her favorite films to talk about were All That Jazz, Anything Goes, and Guys and Dolls. I come from a long line of teachers. Technically, I'm a seventh generation teacher, and officially leaving the profession was a hard choice because I felt like I might be letting my grandma down. But I know that she would be proud of me for doing this podcast, and in a way that resembles her style of intellectual pursuit. She passed away 2 years ago, and I can honestly say that she was the most positive influence in my life. Without my grandma, I would not be who I am today. So, happy International Women's Month, and let's keep fighting for our rights. Let's get our rights back, and let's do what we do best. Scream at the top of our lungs because women are powerful. If you have a movie suggestion that could fit into my category of the month, you can email me at screamqueenpodcaster@gmail.com, and I will share your suggestions. My horror trivia event will be based on the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, all seven movies. All seven original movies. I'm not including Freddy vs. Jason because we don't need that nonsense diluting the purity of Freddy. And I'm not including the remake because fuck that film. My next event will take place on April 15th at Conduit in Orlando, Florida. This is a weekly podcast with new episodes out every Thursday. All the research, writing, and audio is done by yours truly. This is a one-woman show, and I'm doing my very best. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. It really, really means a lot. You can find me on Instagram at Scream Queen Podcaster, Blue Sky at Scream Queen Podcast, TikTok at Scream Queen Podcast, and there is a link tree that will take you to YouTube and Facebook page as well. If you see someone throw a bloody sheet down a pipe, call the cops instead of playing Nancy Drew. Until next time, goodbye.